Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. This was the one that I was like, oh, I love this. What are your expectations as far as a man leading in relationship? You had a really good response for that. I don't know if you remember what you said.
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, I can like read you what you said, and then if you kind of want to just bounce off of that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you said, I think the man leading a woman being submissive is only for marriage, but he can show signs of that. He will make a good leader by how he treats the relationship. Is he intentional? Right. Does he communicate? Does he pray for us and over us? Does he encourage my walk with Christ and put his as priority too? Is he easily angered? Is he tempted? Does he respect physical boundaries? So if you want to just kind of, bounce off of that.
Okay. Yeah, that was a good answer.
It was.
So in dating, it is kind of hard, I think, just because, like, obviously, like, in the Bible, it tells us to be submissive to each other in marriage. Dating is not in the Bible, so it's kind of hard to know like how that plays into it. And I had never thought about it, and I saw someone post about it, and they were talking about how in dating the man can still show like those signs beforehand. So like I said, like just being intentional, leading well where he can, not that he's my leader if he's my boyfriend, but just like leading us in prayer and making plans for us to go on dates, making sure that we're both like being strong in our faith and putting God first, things like that. And then just being a protector, like men can do that in a relationship for sure. Like just showing that he is going to protect me, that he cares about my best interests and puts that in mind, you know, keeps that in mind. I do think that there's a lot of guys though that get confused with how to like lead in a relationship, and it gets kind of I've just seen guys like go the wrong way with it, where they're like, oh well, I'm the leader, so you need to submit to me and I'll take care of everything in our relationship. I'm like, no, that's not how submission works. In dating especially. So it's, I don't know, I feel bad for the guys, because as a guy I don't know how like easy that would be to implement into a relationship without like stepping over the line with it, you know?
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you bring up such a good point. Dating is not in the Bible. And so we're all floundering over here. Like, how do we do this? Because our biblical like examples and principles are for the marriage relationship.
Right.
So I agree. Like a guy can kind of show how he would do that, but yes, there is still a line that shouldn't be crossed until marriage actually takes place. Yeah, I think that's so, it's so hard to balance that, I think, on both sides, you know, for us going like, okay, well, what does this look like, because we're not supposed to necessarily submit until marriage is like there. But then I don't know. I've often struggled with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but even like people's ideas of what submission looks like are so different that it's hard to even like implement that into dating, because, you know, on the feminist side, there's all of the like strong, independent woman who doesn't need a man. And then on like the red pill side, it's all like, oh, the woman is for us and we don't really care about them. And I know like people just have their guards up a lot, especially when it comes to submission, because there's such like a negative connotation to it. But I mean, in the Bible, it says submit to each other, you know? So I don't know. I do think that the guy should lead, like the man is supposed to be like the head of the house and the leader in the relationship. But I don't know. I've just seen on so many like dating profiles, especially where guys were like, I want a woman who's going to be submissive. I'm just like, I don't even know you. Like, I'm not going to submit to you. I'm so sorry.
Yep, that's earned, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not something that's automatic just because you're a man. Like, not every woman is going to submit to you. Nor should
you have
she.
To be a man worth submitting to, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, men who are just, like, super weak or passive, or, like, not strong, like, don't stand strong in what they believe or their boundaries or Christianity or anything, like, that's not a man that's going to be easy to submit to in marriage, much less a relationship, you know? But I do think that a relationship is a good place to find that out about a guy too. Like, and that's why, like, knowing all those things about him is important, because if he stays strong in them, like, in the relationship, and is, like, a good role model for that, then he's probably going to implement that into marriage in a good way. So,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I I know that you answered, like, passivity is something that you don't.
I don't. I don't want. I'm a hard-headed, strong-willed. I'm not a feminist, and I'm not an independent woman who doesn't need a man. I need a man. I just, like, I've been on my own for so long, and, like, I have very strong opinions, and I don't think it's okay to, like, steamroll people with your opinions or your personality, but also, like, I don't want to date a yes man. Like, I don't want him to just, like, agree with everything I say and be super passive and not have an opinion about anything. And I don't know. I think that's good. Like, I think it's good for a man to have opinions and stand strong on what he believes and things like that. But there's a lot of guys who are just not like that. And they will just say whatever you want to hear and just agree with whatever you say. And, like, no, I'm wrong sometimes. Sometimes I'm being dramatic and I need someone to tell me that I'm being dramatic. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Same. I'm like, that is one of the biggest, like, criteria, if you want to use that word, that I look for, is somebody who's going to correct me. You know, yeah. in a loving way.
In a loving, like, way.
Yeah, in a very loving way. But because I am strong and stubborn too. And, you know, my daddy didn't raise a weak girl. So, but he also showed me what it is to, like, respect a man and, you know, like, what that looks like. So it's hard for me to come at it from that perspective of when I find a passive guy, I'm like, I can't handle that. You know, I just, mm-hmm. no, I don't need it. And I've had so many people in my life be like, well, you know, you're a strong girl. So, like, you're a strong woman. So, like, what's the point? Like, why don't you just, you know, like, go after these passive guys? And I'm like, no, that's not attractive. Like, it is not attractive to me. Like, it's.
I don't want to wear the pants in the relationship. I don't want them.
Me,
I don't want to wear them. I don't want to be the boss. I don't want to be the leader. Like, I have, like, leadership qualities and the personality to lead, but, like, in a relationship, I don't want to be that person. Like, I want to be safe in that relationship and know that I can count on him to lead us and me do the nurturing and all of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a passive man is just not going to be able to do that, I feel like.
Mm-mm. Nope, I agree.
I always feel kind of bad saying that because some men are just, like, naturally, like, soft and shy, and, you know, they come off as passive, and it's not that they're a bad guy or that they're not a good Christian man. They just need a woman who's more meek, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Again, like, I like to know that there's direction because I'm a planner. And
me too. You know, I'm the same person. Look at us.
Yeah. Like, I am such a planner, and I cannot stand it when somebody doesn't have a plan. Like, or, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, well, cool, we'll go with the flow. I'm fine with going with the flow to an extent. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there still needs to be some level of plan behind it. You know, like, if you don't. Right. If you don't have direction, I'm not going to find you attractive. Like,
well, I think it depends on, like, what the situation is too. Cause, like, if they want to go with the flow, like, on Friday night plans or dinner or whatever, sure, let's go with the flow. But, like, our next 10 years of life, no, let's not go with the flow. Mm-hmm. Let's make some goals.
Yeah, tell me what your goals are. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Exactly.
I hate that question, but still, it's important.
It is.
It's very important to know, like, you know, I know some people like in today's day and age get like tripped up on the word like ambition, you know, because like, just because somebody doesn't have, you know, ambition doesn't mean they're not a great person. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not the thing. It's more of the direction and the plan behind it. Not so much like, oh, hey, we're going after this next best thing. Like that's different. Right. You know, having a plan and going, hey, this is where I'm hoping that we're at in the next 5 years is completely different than just I'm going to chase the green grass on the other side of things.
Right.
You know,
especially if you want to have like a family and stuff one day, like, I mean, I already have a kid, so like, I can't date a guy who's like, I don't know, I'm just going to feel it out. Unless he is following God, because I understand I was a very controlling person before I got saved. And when I realized that I could not be controlling and follow God's plan, like it wrecked me. But now, like, I've learned to be so obedient and just like understand that, yes, I might have a good plan in place, but I need to be open. What is that saying? It's like, I need to hold on loosely to my plans and tightly to God's, because I mean, mine could change at any minute and I have to be okay with that. And even in like a family, like marriage and everything, like I would want a guy who understands that too, like not to have his plans so concrete that he's not leaving room for God to work, you know, for God to lead us and stuff. So,
I mean, you bring up a great point. Like, 'cause I know this topic comes up a lot in the group of like, you know, I don't want children or, you know, whatever. And that for me is really hard because I'm like, I want kids so dang fast.
Me too. I mean, I have one, but
I
always have kids on the brain.
Exactly. And I'm like, okay, I understand to an extent why some people, men and women, feel that way. But for me, I'm like, why? Like, I want to know the true reason why behind you having that perspective. Because to me, it's a lot of the people who I've talked to, not just in our group, just in general, like speaking, who have that viewpoint. To me, it comes down to that they are holding so tightly to their plans and their viewpoints on what their life should be. They're not allowing God to soften their heart to the possibility of having children. And, you know, again, we're not guaranteed kids, but it's still something that I feel like it's biblical to, you know, have children. So I don't know, like it's hard. It's really hard for me. Because I've found a lot of guys that have been interested in over the last few years are like, I don't want any kids. Or they're already single dads and they're like, I don't want any more kids. And I'm all.
I have encountered a lot of people recently who are similar to that. Like, they're very set and like, I'm not going to date a single mom because I don't want a kid that's not mine. And I'm not going to date a single mom because I don't want any kids, or I don't want more kids than I already have, or something like that. And I'm like, okay, well, you're missing out on a great woman of God. So I wish you the best, but that just sucks. Like, it just sucks when people are that set in stone, like on something that is biblical, like having, like being fruitful and multiplying, like raising families in the ways of the Lord. Like, that is a biblical thing. Not that it's like a guarantee or a requirement for everyone. Like, everyone has different callings in their life, but it is not a negative thing by any means. And it's something that I feel like it pleases God, you know, it pleases God when we have babies and raise them to love the Lord. So,
Yeah. And I have been having this conversation a lot lately, and, you know, I feel like the biggest way that we can fight the enemy is to raise up strong children and, you know, strong biblically sound children. And, you know, that's the only way to get like any kind of revival, you know, and be able to kind of take back all these different things that are being messed up right now in the world, you know, without getting too political about things. But it's just like, how else do we do that other than you know, raising up a generation. Because honestly, right. we don't know when the world is going to end. We have no idea. I do believe we are entering the end times, but we still don't know when that's actually going to happen. So yeah. what are we doing to fight it all, you know?
We are arguing on Twitter about, oh my gosh, we're arguing on Twitter about silly things is what we're doing to prepare. And Facebook.
Gosh, I know. I'm just like, this is not necessarily, you know, beneficial. I mean, we all have our opinions.
And, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and stuff. And I get caught up in it too. But at the same time, it's like, if this, yeah, if you can have a fruitful conversation, okay, fine. But if it's not going to be bringing glory back to where glory should be, then why are we fighting about it?
Yeah. I think that is like, not that specifically, but like the whole topic of children. Cause you know, like the woman staying home and raising their children in the ways of the Lord and things like that. Like that's like a very God honoring lifestyle. It's not the only way you can honor God with your life, obviously, but it's a beautiful way. And when I got saved in 2020, so not super long ago. Mm-hmm. And before that, I was like basically a feminist. I would have never called myself that, but I had been a single mom since my son was born. And I was the definition of a strong, independent woman who doesn't need a man. And I like, that was my motto. And I was proud of that. And I was going to be a career woman and a boss babe and all these things. Mm-hmm. And, when I got saved, I just realized like I had so many just like feminist like mindsets and I had to like break them, you know, and it took all of that like for me to realize how beautiful it is to be able to stay home and raise your children and nurture and love your family that way. And I think that, I mean, I understand like I said, everyone has different callings and different things that they need to do. But if you can do that, I feel like you should. Like, that is awesome.
Mm-hmm. That is my goal.
Yes, me too. I want to be a very highly educated stay-at-home mom.
Same. Like, way too overqualified to be a stay-at-home mom, but it's fine.
I'm literally working on my master's degree right now, and I'm like, I can't wait to just sit at home and not use this and just take care of my babies in our home and all that. So
yep, I finished my master's at the end of 2020, so
that's awesome.
Yep, I feel the same way though. I'm just like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I learned a lot and it's great. And I'm still using all the skill sets like in my current job.
Right.
But it's not the career that I thought I was going to be in. So, you know, it's fine. And I'm in a job that I could totally do from home because I do it from home. And
that's awesome.
You know, so I'm already set up in that way. Like, you know, I can keep this job and, you know, still raise my kids and it would be fine. No big deal. But yeah, like that's awesome that you got saved in 2020. Welcome to the family.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyway, I feel like I could keep ranting about the kids thing, but I'm sure it'll come back around. Yeah, it's so, like, it's so important to find somebody that's on that same level. And I just feel like a lot of people nowadays are not. And it's so frustrating. But
I feel like it's a lot of pressure for the guy. Like, that is a lot of pressure, you know, mm-hmm. to make enough money to support your family and try and give them that life where they can stay home and raise your kids and take care of the home and things like that. Like, that is a lot of pressure. I wouldn't want it. So I just try and respect and honor men like so much because that is a hard task. And I mean, even the Bible, doesn't it say like that they are going to have to answer for mm-hmm. the way they, you know, led their families and things like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say that exactly, something like that.
Yeah, that was a paraphrase, but yeah.
Very loose, paraphrase.
But yes, yes, that is the basic concept of what they are called to as their spiritual head. So, yeah. Yep. And I don't want that responsibility. I'm fine. It's cool. Definitely. I will submit
I'll be your
to you.
Partner. Yeah. I'll support you.
Yep. I will help you make those decisions, but also cool.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. What do you find most attractive in men? I feel like we already kind of touched on this a little bit, but yeah.
I think if he is, I mean, obviously, if he's good with kids, I find that super attractive. I have a son. I need someone who is going to be good with him and who loves kids, or at least likes kids and will love his own children, you know, and mine that will be his. So, I also think like just confidence is super, super attractive. Even if he's not like the most handsome man, if he's confident and funny, he is going to be like in high demand, you know, because I think women care less about most women, not all women, but a lot of women care less about looks than men think they do. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that the attraction is important, obviously, but if he's funny and confident and loves the Lord and children, like, I'm sold.
Yep.
And yeah, I think just seeing a guy that's like respectful to people around him and his, you know, women in his life is always a good sign, something I look for. So
yeah, I agree.
I like a guy who is smart also. He doesn't have to be like a genius, just like the same wavelength. Like we can have conversations and learn and grow with each other, you know?
Yep. That's very important. I'm the type of person that doesn't do very well with small talk. You know, yes. I'm like, we need to have some substance to our conversations. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. And I agree too. Like, just, I feel like we overcomplicate things.
We do. All of us do.
Where we're like, I'm not that complicated. Like, yeah, like you said, loves the Lord, is funny, and that's basically all I want. And it holds conversation. But yes. You know, and is a good communicator. That is also a very big plus.
A good communicator, yes. I think that one has become super important to me. I think like back way in the day, I didn't really care about communication very much because, I mean, I wasn't a good communicator, so whatever. But in my last relationship that I was in, I kind of realized that due to my childhood and relationships that I had been in that were just not good, like just not good things. I don't like to blame things on trauma, but I do think that we have trauma responses sometimes, even if we don't want to have them, even if we've done like healing and, you know, prayed about it and sought God in it. Like we can still have trauma responses to things that are kind of out of our control. And so something I noticed was that when my ex was being like super affectionate with me and just like loving me like a lot, I felt like I couldn't breathe. And it was not that he was doing anything wrong at all. Like he was not being over the top. He wasn't like doing too much or being weird about it. Like it was just sweet, like healthy love. And my body was like, nope. Like my flight or fight response was fleeing. And that was something that like, if we had not communicated, like we would have broken up within a week because like, I had to talk to him about how that made me feel. And he did a really good job of like kind of paying attention to my reactions whenever he was being affectionate. And then just asking me like, hey, is this okay? Or is this too much? And then like gauging my response and going forward from there. So like, if he could tell that I just like, wasn't having it that day, he would like tone it back and be less affectionate and just talk to me like normal. And it, like, it made me feel so loved and taken care of. And I was like, I'm sorry that this is happening. Like, I know it's not your fault. Like, you didn't do this to me, but it's something that's out of my control. And just like the communication helped so much with that. Mm-hmm. And like, that's when I realized how important communication is. Because I had never had anybody do that for me before, like communicate in that way and just care so much about my feelings in that way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you bring up such a great, like a great point in the sense that statistically speaking, you know, a lot of us ladies have like some kind of sexual trauma, right? That's just statistics. And, you know, I know some friends who've struggled with that in relationships because they'll, you know, they won't realize a boundary is being crossed until, mm-hmm. You know, they're having whatever reaction. And yeah. they've had multiple guys like, or I mean, from these different conversations I've had with these friends, like, there's the different outcomes. You know, there will be the guy that will respond like kind of how you already said, like, okay, cool, let me tone it back, right? And then there will be the opposite of like, well, you know, that wasn't me, so you shouldn't be having this issue with me, mm-hmm. because, you know, I didn't do that to you. And it's like, no. When we don't look at it from the perspective of the other person who's actually in that fight or flight, you know, mentality, we're being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like, that's not okay. You have to be able to be respectful of that. And again, like most of us know, hey, it's not this person who did this to us. It's like,
right,
you know, but we're having this reaction and, you know, you have to be loving in that, in those moments, mm-hmm. and be like, okay, cool. Like, you know, I'm going to take a step back, or like, what boundaries do we need to establish until you can kind of work through this, or, you know, whatever. And I think a lot of guys don't hear that enough because the narrative is that, you know, we should just be over it by now. Like, it's not, you know, oh, that shouldn't be a problem for you. Like, and I'm like, no, that's not how trauma works.
Right.
You know,
and mine was like very much like, it wasn't anything like sexual or anything like that. It was, I had never had like a healthy love. Just like the guys that I had dated were toxic and abusive. And in my family, I'd had lots of toxic, abusive situations. And so I had just never had like a healthy love from anybody. And so whenever he was loving me in like a healthy way, I just like didn't know how to accept it. And I realized that was like also playing into my relationship with God, because I was like trying to like shield God off, like, no, that's too much, like, no, you can't really love me that way, because I have to earn love, right? And so just learning how to like deal with that in my relationship with God and then with men too. But I don't know, I agree though, like, it's just because it didn't just happen doesn't mean we have to be over it. Mm-hmm. And not saying that we shouldn't heal or, you know, do take steps to move past it, mm-hmm. but there are some things that just like they come back up, you know, and they're out of your control. And I think especially in the world we live in, like, everybody has trauma now, so
yeah,
we just have to be like respectful, like, and just care about the other person, you know.
Mm-hmm. And we never know, like, even if we've gone through the healing journey, right, like, or started the healing journey, because I personally believe healing is never over.
Yes. Healing is fluid.
Yeah, it's fluid. Doesn't mean that these things aren't going to trigger us at some point. Mm-hmm. And you can't control when that trigger comes up. Like, you have, there's right. no control over it whatsoever. It could be somebody saying something. You could watch a movie or a TV show and, like, you know, and it could just be a simple little thought that just crosses your mind, and all of a sudden you're like in freak out mode. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's with all kinds of trauma, like, not just, you know, that's just all the things. And so, yeah, I think we need to get better, both sides of the coin, right? We need to get better at understanding that, because guys have trauma too. Like, they've been through some stuff.
There was one question that I really enjoyed answering that I do remember.
Okay.
It was the one about love languages.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I just really like answering this question because I feel like a lot of people need to hear it. Just because, like, physical touch is like so many people's top love language, so they say. And I believe that can be true. Like, I have friends who absolutely physical touch is their love language. They want to hug you and love you and be near you and just be close to you all the time. And that's how they show love and that's how they accept love. And it's with males, females, grandmas, grandpas, kids, whoever. Like, that is their love language. Okay. It's not mine. And I always thought that it was because, like, when I'm in a relationship, I love physical affection, like with boundaries, obviously. Like, I want to be pure until marriage, and there's a lot of boundaries that need to come with that. But just, like, you know, like putting your hand on my leg or like holding hands, hugging and kissing and all those things. And like, I love it. And so I always thought physical touch is my love language. But then I noticed that with my own son, he would be like hanging on me, trying to hug me and kiss on me all the time, and just like always touching me, always up in my space. And it drives me crazy. And I'm like, oh, maybe. And my grandma does that too. She always just wants to like hold my hand and stuff. And I'm like, okay, like I'll do it, but I don't want to. And I realized like physical touch is not my love language. I'm like a cat. Like, I want affection when I want it from anybody. And if I don't want it, don't touch me. But I think I just thought that because I really enjoy physical, like, affection in relationships. And I do feel loved by that. But that is not, that's not my love language. So,
yeah. It's funny because I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, give me all the touch. Like, all the touch.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so physical touch and quality time are actually tied for me. Every single time I've taken the test is the exact same. And I'm like, okay. So we're just going to go with those two. But it's so
funny. I think my top one. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no, no. You go ahead.
I think my top one is, dang, it just left my brain. Acts of service. Yes. Is that? Okay. And I think just like, I've been a single mom for, my son turns 9 next week. So 9 years. And, you know, like that gets heavy and life is just kind of heavy, especially if you've been single for a long time and lived on your own for a long time. And literally nothing else in the world makes me feel more loved than someone just like doing something for me that I had to do. And now I don't have to do it anymore. Like, it's just so sweet to me. Just, I love that.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's my dad's top one. So me, I'm over here like, okay, what, you're having a bad day? All right, what are we doing? You know, but yeah, that's such a good, that's a good one too. It doesn't, for me, yes, I would appreciate it, but it, like, it's not the same level.
That's as, so funny.
Yeah, as somebody,
it's just so funny to me. Like, everyone's so different and like what's And I really had never realized like the importance of understanding like someone's love language until I started like hearing other people talk about theirs and like seeing it when I'm with them, you know, like, oh, this is actually important because this is the way that they feel the most loved.
Yeah. And it's such a valid like thing. And I feel like we can all speak them and receive them on different levels, right? But there are those ones that are, speak more to us personally. And, right, you know, and I do think it's important to be able to speak the others because you have no idea, you know, I didn't, until I started studying this stuff back in like, I think I was in high school technically when I first started getting into all the love languages and whatnot. So once I started making those connections and realizing the other people around me, like, this is how they give and receive love. It was like, oh, it made all the difference in our relationship. And that's why I love this question. And I, like, I always ask, you know, like my friends, I'm all, hey, what are your love languages? You know, because I want to be able to show that to them.
Right.
And even if it's one that I'm not like the most comfortable with myself, you know, I could care less about gifts, but that is my brother's, one of my brother's top. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Like, here, I'm going to give you something, you know, because I know that's how you need it, you know?
Yeah.
And if he's like giving me a gift, I'm like way more accepting of it and like super excited, even though it doesn't necessarily do the thing for me, but because I know it's for him, like I know he appreciates that in like, or that is his like love language. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to be more appreciative that you spent your time and your money to give me something. And, you know, be like, okay, cool. Like, I didn't need this thing, but I appreciate that you did that, you know, and thank you. Or I guess maybe I didn't know I needed this thing.
I think like with me and my son, it's so funny because like I said, like physical touch is not my love language. It's just not. Like, I'm a cat and I just can't. My son's is definitely physical touch though. I'm like, okay, how do I make him feel loved without having to be all touchy lovey all the time? Because I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a struggle sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny because I've had a bunch of friends who that's not their top love language. And so we've had to figure out like how to work that out, you know, because sometimes I'll just walk up and be like, assume the position, you know, like I'm in love right now, you know, and then they'll be like, seriously. And I'm like, yeah, just a quick hug, like just a little something, something, you know.
That's so funny. That's another reason it's like, it's good to know like yours too. So you can just like be upfront, like, no, this is just what I need right now, please.
just really quick, like just give me a little something and then we'll call it good, you know. I did that the other night with my niece. So she's quality time, which is no problem for me, but also to an extent, I'm like, I need some physical touch, right? And so after doing a bazillion email or a bazillion interviews and stuff, I was like, hey, my quality time is like tapped, but she's here and I'm trying to spend time with her and all this stuff. I got to this point where I was like, I can't anymore. And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, I just need some physical touch. Like, I just cannot right now. And so she's like, oh, okay. So she literally comes and she's 14. So, well, 14 now. You know, and she's tall. She's a tall girl. And so she just literally comes and tackles me.
Oh, I love that.
And so then we just laid on the floor for like 15 to 20 minutes, just like kind of cuddling each other. And I was like, okay, I'm good now. And so she was like, okay, so we can go back to play the game. And I was like, yeah.
That is literally my worst nightmare. It's so sweet. I'm just like, after like 30 seconds, I'd be like, okay. Okay, that's enough.
That's funny. Yeah, I get that though. Like, I would understand that. It just was super sweet that she was like, oh, okay. But like my younger nieces, like I wouldn't have been able to say that, you know, like because she was older. I was like, okay, I can put this out there and you, you know, we can deal with this. Cause like, I want to hang out and spend time with you, but I am tapped out right now. I need some other kind of love.
Yeah. For sure.
But anyway, it's just it was super funny. I'm like, okay, cool. Now I feel better. We can go back to playing the game we were playing. But yeah, anyway, I mean, maybe, you know, you'll get to the point where he's a little older and it'll be not so not so crazy.
He is just very hyper too. So when he's like near me, like touching me and hanging on me and moving constantly, I just, and I'm a little ADHD too, so I just get like really overstimulated and I'm just like, stop touching me.
That's a thing. That is a thing. Yes. Yeah. I even sometimes get overstimulated with touch too. I'm just like, nope. Mm-hmm. Nobody come at me right now. I don't need it. Just get away. So yeah, that's a thing. That's definitely a thing. Ooh, let's talk about the, why do you use pictures that you can't live up to?
I read that and I was like, oh, somebody is getting catfished. Yes, up until like last year, I would not take a picture without like a Snapchat filter. And then I deleted my Snapchat completely, just because I don't know why I would need a Snapchat at 30 years old. You know, no offense to anyone who has it, but I'm just like, there are other apps that are better. and I stopped using filters, and it was kind of empowering, but also it gets kind of depressing when I'm going through like an ugly stage, I guess. And it sucks, and it is very tempting to use a filter when you're not feeling yourself, you know, but it's also just not realistic. Like, people are gonna meet you in person and see your face. There's really no point in lying about it. Like, you have the face that you have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that question was so funny though.
I know, when I saw it come through, I was like, oh. Like, oh, okay. I don't know what it's like to be on a guy's side of a dating app, but oh dang, like, ugh.
You know what though, last time I was on a dating app, I saw so many guys who had Snapchat filters on their pictures, and I was like, it was like an automatic no. Okay. But then I was like, now I understand how they feel, because why do you need a Snapchat filter on your pictures that you're posting?
Yep. That too. But then, like, I feel like there's, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I've experienced guys lying about their height and their age. Like, yes. I don't,
not age, but height for sure.
Yeah. And I'm like, isn't that the same thing?
Yes.
You know, and we need to,
or
stop,
like, only having a picture of like their head, like,
yeah.
Yep. They don't like anything like their picture. So,
yeah. And I'm like, can we just stop toting this whole lie that all girls want 6 feet, six pack, six figures? Like, it's not, yeah, that's not realistic, and most of us don't want that, you know.
There's just no point in lying about it. Like, it may seem like harmless, like you're just stretching the truth, but stretching the truth is a lie, and all sins are considered equal, so lying is on the same scale as murder, you know.
Like, mm-hmm.
So you just, like, just as a Christian in general, like, we should not be lying and misrepresenting ourselves. But then also, like, whenever you meet the person, like, for guys, if they lied about their height or whatever, like, I'm going to meet you in person and know that wasn't true. And now my respect for you has just, like, gone down, because mm-hmm. you're not a man of integrity. So... And I feel like it can be the same with girls. If they're not, Snapchat filters are not always bad. Like, they're fun, whatever. And it's not always like, if you use a filter, that doesn't mean you're like lying about how you look. Okay. Cause sometimes if you look exactly the same, it just has like a colored filter or just enhances it a little bit, whatever. But there are girls who like hardcore edit their pictures to make themselves look skinnier, to make their face look more flawless and things like that. And that is misrepresenting yourself. And when mm-hmm. someone meets you in person and you're not actually the size that you were in your pictures, like, they're obviously gonna know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's no point.
There really isn't. And it's just, it's funny because it's like, me, I'm not a small girl, so I always have a full body photo.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
And I'm just like, well, you either okay with that or you're not okay with it. And I don't,
yeah,
I mean, whatever, like, that's fine, you know. But I also still make a point to like clarify, you know, like, are you sure you looked at my whole profile? And like, you know, because I don't want them mm-hmm. to show up and be like, oh, you look so different than you did,
right?
And I'm like,
right,
no, I really don't, like, that's me.
Yeah.
You know, I just might be wearing a different outfit that's gonna fit me differently and like is gonna look
right,
you know, not like the picture, you know. I'm not about to show up in the outfits that you saw on my dating profile. That's not realistic. You know what I mean? And I feel like too, yeah, like, cameras just aren't, they in of themselves are not realistic. You know, like, a camera that is 2D cannot take a picture of a 3D or 4D person and make it, right, look 100% accurate.
Exactly the same. Yeah.
You know, so I'm not.
Yeah, alone. I do think.
Oh, go ahead.
I think there's just like a big difference in like, if someone doesn't look exactly how they do on their profile, because most of the time our profile, like, we're putting out our best, you know? And we may not always look our best. So maybe the thing is that we should just put a picture of us with no makeup and our hair thrown up in a ponytail, wearing pajamas and at an unflattering angle, just so he knows sometimes I look like this.
This might be how I wake up. Yeah. Right.
I may not get any matches, but at least nobody will be confused.
Seriously. Like, I mean, I always try to have a no makeup photo too, yeah, with like the messy bun, because this is like my everyday, mm-hmm, look, you know. Yeah. And that is what it is. Like, mm-hmm, if you don't like it, okay, whatever. You know, yeah, thank you, next.
What did the full question say? That the guy sent?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so why do you use pictures that you can't live up to? Almost every first date is a letdown because women can't live up to their pics, be it filters, be it angles, be it close-up hiding stuff, etc. Why not just throw it out there and let the chips fall where they may? Wouldn't you rather get asked out less than have a ton of one and done dates?
Man was hurt. But I understand, like, I've been on dates too where, like, but I mean, that can happen for any reason. Like, mm-hmm, you could think someone's cute in their profile picture, but like you said, it's not a 3D picture of them. Like, it is just a 2D picture of a person. And when you meet this person in real life, like, you could not be attracted to them at all. Even if they looked good on their profile and they look just like their profile, there may be no attraction there, no chemistry there. Like, you may not like the way their face looks when they talk. Like, that can, mm-hmm, happen for any reason, even if they're not lying on their pictures. So, mm-hmm, I think anyone who's on a dating app should just expect that, like, there is a high possibility that it's going to be completely different in person no matter what. So,
right. Yeah.
But also make them send you a Snapchat, a picture holding a fork or something so that you can prove that's what they look like if that's what you need.
Yeah.
Or do like a FaceTime date beforehand, you know?
Yeah, FaceTime is a huge thing. Zoom, yeah. Google Meet, all the things. I mean, there's options. You know, a lot of dating apps have like the video feature now too. So
yeah, they do. They do, actually. That's pretty cool.
You know, so like,
I don't have dating apps, but
oh, I've pretty much deleted all mine too because it.
Yeah,
I'm over it.
Not good there. Mm-mm.
I'd much rather meet people in person, you know, and
so far though.
Yeah, girl, I know. I know. But I mean, not like I'm going to the meetup in November. Not that I'm expecting to like have sparks fly with anybody, but you know, just to get out there and be able to meet these people in person and,
yeah,
you know, develop whatever friendships may come from it or not. And you know what I mean? It's just, we live in a world that we have gotten so used to not having face-to-face interaction, and it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anapiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.